And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. After an effort to get the federal government to take action in blocking Asian carp from entering the Great Lakes, the issue has slipped from the headlines, but researchers at Michigan State University are warning that if no action is taken, we may be facing disastrous consequences. To talk about that, I'm joined by Dr. Bill Taylor, University Distinguished Professor in Global Fisheries Systems at MSU and a member of MSU Center for Systems Integrations and Sustainability. Thank you for joining me, Bill.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, at this point, how close are we to having Asian carp in the Great Lakes?
Well, they're knocking at our doorstep, and they have been for a couple of years. And I think we're close to having to make a decision whether they're going to get into our lakes or not.
Is it a matter of months or years?
The time has grown short. I would say we have less than a few years to make a decision what we're going to do.
Now, when we talk about separating the Great Lakes from the Mississippi River basins, how would something like that be done physically?
This is where the Corps of Engineers will have to put up a permanent solution where the Chicago Sanitary and Shipping Canal would no longer be connected. So they'd have to have a barrier in which would prevent fish and other animals to be able to move into our Great Lakes area. And conversely, there needs to be a block where the fish and the invertebrates and the plants from the Great Lakes can move there into the Mississippi River Basin, which is unique, as you know.
You know, there are currently electric barriers in place to prevent Asian carp from spreading. How do they work, and are they truly effective?
The electric barriers work by putting in a low-voltage current, which are really for repelling fish, and they don't kill the fish. They can't be high enough electricity, because if they could kill the fish, they would also kill humans should a human fall into it. In addition, when we have steel barges go by, the electrical field is disrupted, so fish could come by at the same time that barrier when a ship goes by. In addition, it has power outages, and you have all the things that we have when we have devices that maintain constant maintenance, which allows for fish to get by during those periods of time. Last, it does not prevent Great Lakes invaders, which there's about 17 that could be a threat to the Mississippi Basin that could come from the Great Lakes to get by, because that would be floating downstream. So we're trying really to block upstream migration. And so far, those have not proven on a long term to be successful. We tried it with sea lamprey.
And ultimately, you're saying it doesn't stand a chance at actually stopping carp from coming into the Great Lakes.
That's correct, Micah.
How does a species like Asian carp invade a water system? Does it take only a handful of them to begin the process?
Well, it takes a handful to get in. It needs, of course, to get a male and a female in the same area that they can reproduce. And then once they find the right habitat to reproduce in, then you could start to have young produced, and then they would start moving like they did from Arkansas, where this invasion started, all the way up the river, and you could have it go throughout the Great Lakes area. One thing I should say, Mike, and we try to make a point of this, it's not just the lakes proper and the deep water. These fish will really affect the nearshore, drowned river mouth, wetland areas, and tributaries of the Great Lakes. And I'd like everybody on your show to be thinking, what would you do if your lake that you so valued and your tributary or your river system now was predominantly Asian carp and you didn't have the other species around with you? You would see that, I think, system in a very different light. Certainly I did when I grew up on Lake Ontario, when I had dead alewives and blue-green algae and no fish to speak about to catch, and had no value for it. I really think this is a major issue for us to think about. It's the whole Great Lakes Basin. And if you're in Mississippi, the Mississippi Basin, what's that river look like?
What is it about Asian carp that make them so destructive to the waterways they invade?
They are extremely efficient filter feeders for your lower parts of your food base. So they'll strain your zooplankton and phytoplankton, which is a basis of life. And with that, they will just outcompete on the food base every other fish that's been currently in the river systems or in the nearshore areas of the lake. And that's what's happened in the Illinois River and the Mississippi River.
There's no way to fish them out of the waters in numbers that would minimize the damage they would cause?
No, there's no way you can have a commercial fishery, but it wouldn't be a large enough impact to really knock down the populations. We've never been very successful at knocking a population down once it becomes successfully reproducing.
You've said the cost of building a barrier to keep these fish out of the Great Lakes would be dwarfed by the cost of not doing so. What kind of economic impact would we see if Asian carp were to take over the Great Lakes?
Well, right now, the estimate on this, just the current invaders that we've had, and you know these invaders are the sea lamprey control that Michigan State's worked on quite a bit with the Great Lakes Fishery Commission and its partners, has been about $200 million a year. Just an economic cost to the nation, to the Great Lakes Basin. I can tell you that we're close to $30 million a year just trying to control sea lamprey, and you know that we still have sea lamprey in the Great Lakes. And so we try to minimize that cost. Those are long-term programs that we've had outstanding research and management activities on, so we have very selective agents that can try to block and reduce their numbers. We have none of those available for us on Asian carp. And so I'm afraid you'll get back to a very dysfunctional system in which you first will have to try to find ways to try to control. But most likely you're going to have to live with this fish for a long time and a different ecosystem, one of which I think is much less valuable than we are today for you.
You know, we haven't heard state government officials mentioning the issue recently, at least. Do they feel it's too late to take action to prevent the spread of Asian carp?
I think that some people would think it is, but I say that the science is out there and it should drive policy, and the science says that while we've had some indications that there's been a few fish that have gotten above the barrier, it's certainly not, in our opinion, a reproducible population, and that it, action needs to be taken now, and we have a mandate to the Corps of Engineers by our Congress and our President that things need to be moving forward, and I think that is my biggest message. The public needs to be motivated to tell the legislators and the Corps of Engineers and our other partners that it is time for action. The science is clear. It says these things will cause damage, and we need to have a separation.
How much time do we really have right now, then, to begin the process of building the barrier before it's too late?
I think you need to start immediately. I think if you wait 5 years, it could be too late.
Dr. Bill Taylor, University Distinguished Professor in Global Fisheries Systems at MSU and a member of the MSU Center for Systems Integration and Sustainability. Thank you for joining me, Bill.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll be right back with more Capital City Recap. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.